sitting on your bush, all you do a, you do been a separate buck a lot of the man of any. Hi, this is Gerald Celente, and it's Trends This Week. And what a week it was, and what a week it is. And thinking about the week that was on the economic front, woo, never saw one like that before in the history of the United States since the Dow has been invented. That's right. The Dow lost last week, had its biggest straight decline in the history of the Dow. Never saw anything like it before. 1,000 points that rang in the first week of the new year. The worst ever. And stocks, they lost about almost $1.4 trillion here in the United States. More than a trillion over there in Asia. And then around the world, you're looking probably about a $3 trillion loss in 1 week. It's unprecedented. And of course, as listeners to Progressive Radio Network, Gary Noe, myself, and the other guests, it doesn't come as a shock to you that this was going to happen. And of course, we went over our top trends for 2016 over a month ago. And one of them is global recession. That's what's going on in the marketplace. It's a global recession. The volatility in these markets is telling a lot about what's going on. For example, when you look at oil prices just today, you know, they were up some nearly 3.5%. And now, of course, Brent is down 0.25%. That's the kind of volatility we're experiencing. And, of course, Brent is hovering around $30 a barrel. You go back to June of 2014, Mr. Brent was going for about $115 a barrel. And of course, when it started to decline, the rumors were that the Saudis and the Americans were punishing the Russians for, quote, invading Ukraine. And of course, the Russians didn't invade Ukraine. The United States and Europe, particularly Germany, staged a coup against the democratically elected government, like him or not, of Yanukovych, and installed a puppet government. Anyway, that was the hype going on back then. And again, this was the height of the summer driving season. It was just beginning in June. And I'm saying to myself, what's going on here? And then I started looking at all the other commodities starting to decline one after another. So as we're speaking today, you have commodity levels on average at 1999 levels. So it's not only oil. I've said this over and over again. It's copper, it's iron ore, it's zinc, it's aluminum. It's from corn to wheat to soybeans. There's too much supply and not enough demand. So here we just had the worst week ever in the history of the Dow. And then on Saturday, the weekend's newspapers, beginning with the Wall Street Journal, you know, they did a headline that really didn't sum up how bad it was. And it was a front page headline. It said, bad week for stocks, dim outlook. Okay, bad week for stocks, dim outlook. Bad week? How about the worst week of a new year ever? Ever. In over 100 years. No, dims outlook. And then right under that, there was a huge photo of this crazy guy aiming a gun into a window of a cop car, shooting at a police officer. So your attention went directly to that. Bypassed the headline. This is the Wall Street Journal. That's a story that could be covered in any other newspaper. You don't expect that to be the lead eye contact when you pick up the paper of a newspaper that is financially based. But that's the way they get your mind off how bad things were, by diverting your attention. I'm saying this because this is a trend tracker's tip, and I've been doing this since 1980. So you look for these kind of things, the language, because what it does, and the placement on the, whether it's online or in newspapers or a story on TV, whatever it might be, the placement is important. So when you look at it and you see what's going on, the language they use, again, dim outlook, and where they place it, it grabs the public and subliminally directs them. So then you pick up the Saturday's New York Times. You know, they like to call themselves the paper of record. But more and more as I read it, they should really rename it to the toilet paper of record. I mean, they did one Sunday, they did like a six-page spread, big front-page story, six pages inside, five or six pages, full pages, of why this guy decided to become a transgender. I mean, that's a personal issue. That's not what I expect to see. I don't care if the guy becomes a transgender. It's not my business. It's not a major story. As the world is going to war and the economies are declining, oh, what, they couldn't come up with a Justin Bieber story? They had to do that one? Or a Kardashian? That's how stupid the New York Times is turning out to be. So going back to their coverage of, again, the worst Dow week in history. A time, by the way, when oil prices declined 11% in 1 week. A time when the Shanghai, the Chinese markets, are down over 10%. This is what they had. They had a story on the right-hand column about the wonderful jobs report that came out on Friday. The jobs report is not that wonderful. And I know Obama was bragging about it in his speech yesterday to the nation. But when you look at it, the job numbers aren't that good. You're looking at, in December 2015, there are 1,185,000 fewer Americans in the labor force than in December of 2014. And when you look at the jobs being created, they stink. Where do you have them? In domestic services, such as waitresses, bartenders, couriers, employment services, social services, and healthcare. And then that healthcare is primarily ambulatory healthcare services. And when you look at, again, the jobs being created, we're not a productive society anymore because thanks to Bill Clinton and others, oh, and Obama, all you liberals out there, hey, how do you like the way he was bragging about the Trans-Pacific Partnership? Oh, yeah, that's going to create jobs too, huh? No, it won't. Just like his deal with Korea, we've already lost 75,000 jobs from that. Yeah, the Obama, the liar in chief, that when he was candidate, Obama was, you know, campaigning up in the Rust Belt and saying how NAFTA had to be revisited, folks. Yeah, and then he shoves down the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and as we wrote in the Trends Journal, as that was happening. He had no intention of revisiting the NAFTA deal. Brought to you by another Democrat, liberals. Bill Slick Willie Clinton, the guy that gave us job offshoring and has turned the government of the United States, its workers, into a third world economy, despite what Obama was blabbing yesterday about how wonderful things are. They're not wonderful, they stink. Anybody out in the workforce knows the deal, because it was people like Clinton and Obama doing it again. You know, these manufacturing jobs, you know, we don't want to keep them. They're dirty and they're low skill and low paying. You know, so we can lose those jobs. You know, it doesn't make any difference. We're going to replace them with higher skill, higher paying positions in the knowledge-based economy. Yeah, that's right. Obama was selling that one too last night. The knowledge-based economy. Yeah, more math and science, I tells you. How long have they been rapping that line out? So going back to the economy, going back to look what's going on, here we have the worst week in history of the Dow in the opening of a new year, and the New York Times floods the front page with the story of the bogus job report. And you know where they put the story about the worst week of a new year on the Dow ever? On page B6 in the business section, two pages away from the end of the section. Down on the bottom left, just a regular report like they do each week. And here's the headline. Market slides to worst week in 4 years. A wave of late selling pummeled United States stocks on Friday and pushed the market to its worst week in 4 years. Worries that China's huge economy is slowing down have prompted a dismal start to the new year. Dismal start? How about, could you say worst start? Of course you can't, because you are prostitutes. That's right. You're whores for Wall Street and the government. You don't want things to look bad. Oh, no. Let's be positive. Accentuate the positive. Eliminate the negative. That's the way they wrote this. Total propaganda. We're going into the panic of 2016. Actually, for those subscribers to the Trends Journal, of course, you know, we do a Trends in the News each weekday night. And the last Trends in the News we did to end the last year, on December 30th, it was the panic of 2016. That's right. We forecast that the markets would open in panic as the new year began. It's right there. It's for everybody to see. And that's what we're in. So I'm mentioning these things about how the papers and the media place stories and how they prop up information to get your attention while hiding more important information that they don't want you to look at closely. It's very important to look at these things with a critical eye. Again, here's the front page story of the New York Times on Friday. December gains wrap up 2 years of strong hiring. Yeah, strong hiring. Let's put this into perspective. 95% of the wealth gained since the Great Recession has gone to 1%. Median household income is below 1999 levels. Less than half less than half of the nation now considers themselves middle class. Of course, for those of us old enough to remember, this was the land of opportunity. So when I hear Obama shooting his lying mouth off, and he's a liar, he's backtracked on everything that he promised of any major substance, and Obamacare is not socialized medicine, it's fascism. It's the merger of state and corporate powers. We're being forced to buy our health care from private corporations. And when you look at the numbers, they stink. When you see the deductibles that people have and how much money you have to pay into the system. Other than that, I'm going to close Guantanamo, folks. Hey, didn't you say that on your first day in office almost, 8 years ago? So when I call him a liar, he's a liar. And I don't like his arrogance, talking down to people, like myself when he said, anyone claiming that America's economy is in decline is peddling fiction. And the clowns in the audience, those lowlifes, the people call politicians, they all applauded. Fiction, we could go over the facts, El Presidente. But the facts don't count in a fascist society, El Presidente. Yeah, just like he gave that speech with the tear going down his cheek about every time he thinks of the tragedy at Sandy Hook and the gun violence. Gun violence? Hey, weren't you the guy that they quoted, I'm really good at killing people, on your Terror Tuesdays when you sign off on those drone strikes to suspected militants? That's right, suspected. Not tried and convicted. No, hey, I'm the president. If I suspect you, I'll kill you. Yeah, that's how low morality has sunk in the United States. So I have no respect for him. He's a murderer. Hey, remember Gaddafi has to go. You forgot that one? Yeah, Gaddafi. Now the place is in total turmoil. How many people did you kill there? Oh, an estimated 30,000. Hey, how about that troop surge, Obama, over there in Afghanistan? Yeah, you remember that, folks. One lie after another. One murder after another. And the arrogance of this man. And that disgust. Oh, he's going to cure cancer, too. And he's putting Joe Biden in charge. Mission control. And the clowns applaud. The little seals. That's what they look like. Trained seals, clapping at every cheap line he threw out. Cure cancer. Hey, how about getting the trains to run on time? What trains? It's a third world country. And we got, oh, by the way, the United States has spent more money rebuilding Afghanistan, folks, than the United States spent in the Marshall Plan after World War II, rebuilding Europe. I was wondering, who's his speechwriter? Is Goebbels alive? Does he have a grandson or a great-grandson? For the past 7 years, our goal has been growing a growing economy that also works better for everybody. Yeah, you didn't know that, folks? It's working better for everybody, isn't it, folks? We've made progress, but we need more time. And despite all the political arguments that we've had these past few years, there are actually some areas where Americans broadly agree. We're looking at basically 2% growth each year since the end of the so-called Great Recession, which has not ended. I talked about the job numbers. Hey, folks, Obama left out the fact that labor force participation rate is at 1970s levels. That's when a lot of women weren't in the workforce yet. And that's how bad it is, folks. What Obama also left out is that real wages, folks, are stagnant and reality decline. Again, median household income is below 1999 levels. That half the workforce is making under $30,000 a year. And he goes on with this BS about, again, you know, that offering every student hands-on computer science and math classes to make them job ready on day one. And, folks, we have to make college affordable for every American. You know, this guy gave his speech as though he hasn't been around, you know. He's brand new on the job and hasn't been there for over 7 years. He's going to do all these things that he hasn't done. And everybody writes like this is reality. One lie after another. One cheap line after another. And it's again, you know, the thing about he's going to cure cancer. I'm going to put Joe in charge of mission control. That's a quote. Joe Biden, a guy that's been nothing but sucking off the public tit all his life with a bad attitude and doing nothing for anybody other than himself and his family. Yeah, that's right. Don't you know his son, Hunter Biden? Hunter Biden, yeah. Hunter Biden was appointed to the board of directors of Burisma Energy in Ukraine. Yeah. That Joe Biden, that Ukraine, also John Kerry's stepson's business partner, was also, his stepson is a Heinz boy, and his business partner was also appointed to Burisma Energy, controls 20% of the energy in Ukraine. So, one thing after another. And then he brags about how, quote, gas under $2 a gallon ain't bad either. Ain't bad either, folks. Ain't bad. Had nothing to do with it. The reason we have $2 a gallon gas is because we have a sagging economy. I'm telling you, Goebbels lives. Because that's who wrote this speech, man. And everybody laughed. Gas under $2 a gallon ain't bad either, folks. I told you earlier, all the talk about America's economic decline is political hot air, end quote. It's not political hot air, Obama. It's a fact, Jack. Look at the numbers. Look at the reality. Look at the lives people are living. Look at the millennials. Can't move out from mommy and daddy's house. Look at the numbers in first-time home buyers. How people between the ages of 26 and 35 usually represent up to 40% of new home buyers. It's down into the 20s because they can't afford it. Look how rents are going up, and more people renting because they can't afford to buy, folks. Well, so all the rhetoric you hear about our enemies getting stronger and America getting weaker, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Don't you? You see, this is important. That's the way they talk down to you. Let me tell you something, Junior. And what they do is when you see the setting, you know, of His Majesty up there and all the little paid-for clowns clapping again as trained seals, that sets the stage. As he walks in, everybody cheering, blah, 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 blah. And let me keep reading here. He goes on to say, let me tell you something, United States of America is the most powerful nation on earth. Period. Period. Hey, getting to sound like Donald Trump. Keep repeating yourself to drive home the point, huh? Period. Yeah. No, it's not Obama. He's all hot air. Not political hot air. That's where the hot air is coming from, Washington's hot air. The facts prove the United States is in decline. The most powerful nation on earth? What, the biggest bully? The greatest murderer? How many people have you murdered, Obama? Hey, not as many as Bush. Yeah, that's what the liberals will tell you. He's not a bad mass murderer. How about, do you catch up to Clinton yet? Both of them. Yeah, you've got the Bosnia, Serbia, Yugoslavia. Hey, how about the no-fly zones and bombing away over Iraq during, as soon as Clinton got elected to office? How about starving the Iraqis with sanctions? Over 500,000 Iraqi children under the age of 5 died, according to the United Nations. And when confronted with the number on CBS by Leslie Stahl's 60 Minutes to Madeleine Albright, we're not all that bright, Clinton's Secretary of State, and Leslie Stahl asked if the price of 500,000 dead Iraqi children was worth it. Madeleine Albright said, yes, it was. So it's not the most powerful. It's the most murderous. Do you like being a bully? Powerful. Period, period. It's not even close. Hey, look, I'm not making this up. After the period, period, it's not even close. It's not even close. It's not even close. I'm telling you, man, Obama's been watching Trump too much. Yeah, starting to sound like him. Starting to sound like him. Starting to sound like him. And here's how he brags. Folks, all you disgusting liberals that are holding back the peace movement because you believe in your liars are better than their liars. My evil is not as bad as your evil. Actually, adults actually say that. They vote for lesser of two evils. So here he goes. It's not even close. It's not even close. It's not even close. We spend more on our military than the next 8 nations combined. Now, how would you respond to that, folks? Well, the folks in the audience, a big applause. And guess what, folks? Quote, our troops are the finest fighting force. Get ready for this. In the history of the world. That's right. Look at Attila the Hun have over these guys. Nah, nothing, huh? That Taurus Bulbo, that nothing. Nothing of a cat, man. Poof. Alexander, not that great. Hey, how about you guys that fought in World War II? Nah. Oh, yeah. The finest fighting force in the history of the world, Obama? How come you can't win in Afghanistan, Obama? Going on 15 years, Obama. Oh, you were going to pull all the troops back. Another one of your lives, Obama. Hey, how about I'm not going to put boots on the ground back in Iraq, Obama, and you did. Liar. Oh, that fighting force? That war that's been going on since 2003? Another illegal war like the Afghan war? And the crowd cheers. No nation attacks us directly or our allies because they know that's a path to ruin. Yep. One piece of propaganda after the next. Yeah, he's going to destroy ISIS. He said, but as we focus on destroying ISIS, over-the-top claims that this is World War III just play into their hands. Over-the-top claims? Hey, I guess we should retract one of our top trends for 2016, the last world war. That's right. If war continues, it will be the war that Einstein predicted. He was asked, what weapons will be used to fight World War III? He said, I don't know. He said, but they'll be using sticks and stones to fight the Fourth World War. So it's an over-the-top claim that the Middle East, oh, hey, Obama, hey, peace man, you sold those Saudis all those cluster bombs, $2 billion worth just recently. Oh, no, those were smart bombs. The cluster bombs were sold earlier. That they're killing innocent Yemenis, several thousand, destroyed the country, the poorest nation in the Middle East. Oh, yeah. Is that what you're talking about? Not that war? No, not the war that Turkey's heating up with the Kurds. And now, of course, the blowback is happening and innocent people are dying. No, that's not leading up to World War III. Assad has to go. The continual bombing. There was a report out last year. The United States dropped 23,000 bombs. 23,000 bombs in Iraq and Syria. 23,000. But he got a long way to catch up to the guy with that pressure cooker bomb up in the Boston bomber up there. But he got a long way to go. Come on, get on, you know, get with it. 23,000 bombs, millions of people killed. And the Democrats applaud this. Here he goes. Talking about ISIS. We just need to call them what they are, killers and fanatics. Guess what? You're a killer too. And I would say a fanatic, along with you and the rest of the psychopaths that keep championing more war. He goes on, who have to be rooted out, hunted down, and destroyed. Kitty talk. Rooted out, hunted down, and destroyed. Huh. Sounds familiar. Kind of George W. Bushish, isn't it? Well, it is. Because he goes on to say, and that's exactly what we're doing. For more than a year, America has led a coalition. Here's where the liar-in-chief puts out a phony fact and makes it sound real. More than 60 countries to cut off ISIS's financing, disrupt their plots, stop the flow of terrorist fighters, stamp out their vicious ideology. With nearly 10,000 airstrikes, we are taking out their leadership, their oil, their training camps, their vicious ideology. With nearly 10,000 airstrikes, we're taking out their leadership, their oil, their training camps, their weapons. We're training, arming, and supporting forces who are steadily reclaiming territory in Iraq and Syria. Okay, 60 countries, right? The United States is doing 95% of the bombing. That's right. Kind of like that coalition of the killing that Bush put together in Iraq. It's the United States. But he makes it seem bigger than that. And it's not when you look at the facts. And he brags that they're training, arming, and supporting forces. When you look at who they're training and arming, all the data coming out, they're training moderate rebels. How can you put moderate? What's a moderate rebel look like? Have you seen one lately? Who are these cats? Could you show me one? From all the information, These are the radical jihadists supported by the Arab League, particularly Saudi Arabia and Qatar, the United Arab Emirates. That's who the United States is supporting. The same ones as the information coming out now with Hillary Clinton's emails leading up and into the Libyan war that she, Samantha Powers, and Susan Rice pushed. You can see where the money was going, who was training them, and the people that Gaddafi was fighting against are the so-called same militants as the ones today. Consortium News, Robert Parry. He's an investigative journalist, used to be work for AP. Real solid man. I would suggest go to his site, Consortium News, and read the story of the emails. By the way, this is what they do as trend forecasters. You look for things like this. The government released Hillary's emails on New Year's Eve. That's how disgustingly low these people are. Just like Obama signed into law the National Defense Authorization Act on New Year's Eve that basically did away with the Posse Comitatus Act that prevented the military from taking over police duties in the United States and allows the government to arrest a person like myself. Not arrest me, just take me away, do anything they want me, kill me without no judge, jury, or trial. Anyway, they did it on New Year's Eve. And the same thing with releasing Hillary's emails. They did it New Year's Eve when nobody's paying attention. But Robert Parry did a great job. And when you read the language of what was going on in these emails from this guy Blumenthal, I mean, the whole thing, and you know, people used to say it was conspiracy theory that they were taking out Gaddafi because he had gold and tons of it, and he wanted to get rid of the French influence, the colonization, and have a standard African currency. And it's right in that emails, and that's why Sarkozy, one of the reasons why he wanted to get rid of him, because it would undermine the French's colonial moves back into what was used to be called the French Sudan. And of course, now they're in Mali and Niger. And by the way, Niger right borders Mali, and the French troops are basically in control, particularly around the uranium mines. And, of course, France has more nuclear power plants that require uranium than virtually any other country in the world as far as getting most of their electricity from it. So anyway, I really suggest you consider going to Robert Parry's website, Consortium News. He does a great, great job. I go to it all the time. And read all about it. Read the lies coming out from, not the lies, the plots, the real life plots that the United States and France were conspiring with to overthrow Gaddafi. It's an eye opener, and of course it doesn't make the news. How about those Kardashians, huh? You know, I wonder if Justin Bieber is, that's the news you get in America today. The other stuff is, it's buried. Going on to Obama's speech, he goes, if this Congress is serious about winning this war, it wants to send a message to our troops and the world, authorize the use of military force against ISIS. Take a vote. And there's an applause. If this Congress is serious about winning, how about anybody talking about peace? Not from these pieces of crap that only want war. Not a peep about peace. And again, when you have a Democrat in office, it even makes it harder because their cowardly supporters won't admit that the freak that they love is as bad as the freak that they hate. But hey, these are people that openly admit that they'll vote for a lesser of two evils. Maybe they would also have a relationship with a lesser of two evils. Why not do a business partnership also with a lesser of two evils? How about inviting? How about having a party at your home for a lesser of two evils party? Yeah, invite all the lesser of two evils in. Because take a vote, repeats it. But the American people should know that, with or without congressional action, ISIS will learn the same lessons as terrorists before them. Okay, ISIS is going to learn the same lessons as terrorists before them. And is this, what lesson is this? Terrorist 101? What lesson are you going to learn? Well, he'll tell you, folks. If you doubt America's commitment or mine to see that justice is done, you ready for this? Just ask Osama bin Laden. Applause. Justice being done. Justice being done. That sounds just like George Bush. That's right. Who's going to bring bin Laden to justice? And again, no judge, no jury, no trial. Denials, by the way, that they had anything to do with it. Oh, by the way, this is the bin Laden brought to you by Jimmy Carter and Brzezinski. Yeah, they were called the Mujahideen when they had to fight them Russians over there in Afghanistan. Yeah, you had to get the Russians out of there so America could go in. Yeah, that bin Laden. What is this bringing to justice means killing people? And the crowd applauds, because that's what justice has become. All you have to be is suspected, a suspected militant. And Jack, you're dead. And we'll kill anybody else around you. That's too bad. They're not my kids, and they ain't white. They're not American, they're not French, they're not English. They don't count. What are they? Pakistani, Yemeni, Afghans, Iraqis, Syrians? Who cares? It's only collateral damage. And they keep pumping up. Oh, we got another leader. All right, you got rid of bin Laden. What difference did it make? Nothing. But yet they brag about it. This guy's speech is a disgrace, but no more of a disgrace than the ones before him. I got to be fair and balanced. The world will look to us to help solve these problems, and our answers needs to be more than tough talk or calls to carpet bomb civilians. That may work as a TV soundbite, but it doesn't pass muster on the world stage. Okay. All you have is a track record of nothing but failure. Could anybody add this up? The United States military has nothing but a track record of failure led by their commanders and chief. Nah, not like the commanders in chief like George Washington, who was a real warrior, not that kind of commander-in-chief, not the commander-in-chief Washington in his farewell address, who warned and urged of no foreign entanglements. No, this is a commander-in-chief that, you know, he's good at playing basketball, game of pool here and there. Hey, how about some golf? No. More than tough talk or calls to carpet bomb allies. Now, he has a better plan. A better plan for failure. He brags and all he has to do is show a long list of failures. So there you got it. It goes on and on. Heartbreaking. heartbreaking to see what's happened in this country. Yep. And here's his line about how wonderful robbing our jobs are. That's how we forged a trans-Pacific partnership to open markets, to protect workers and the environment, and advance American leadership in Asia. Oh, good news! Advancing America's leadership in Asia. More troops in Asia. Yeah, the Philippine government just voted yesterday to allow troops, American troops, back into the Philippines. Yeah, that's right. We got to watch them Chinese. It cuts 18,000 taxes on products made in America, which will then support more good jobs here in America. What a bunch of baloney. With Trans-Pacific Partnership, China does not set the rules in the region, we do. We want to show our strength in this new century. Approve this agreement. Give us the tools to enforce it. It's the right thing to do. Yay! So, there you got it. It's the right thing to do. So here we are, middle of the second week of the Dow. It opened much higher today, up well over 100 points. Now it's down some 44. Oil is mixed. Gold's at 1088, up 340. I'm a believer, and I don't give financial advice. The motto, by the way, everything I say, everything we write, and we write a lot. Trends Journal, Trends Monthly, Trends This Week, Trend Alerts, Trends in the News. The motto is think for yourself. This is the way we see it. These are the facts that we have. By the way, this new election heating up, I suggest there should be a new cabinet position. The Secretary of Trends and Consequences. That's right. What are the consequences of the actions being taken? How will they play out? We're not going to look at that. I'll tell you why we're not going to look at it. Because the future is off limits. I'm sure when you go to send your kids to college or you go to college, you have trend forecasting courses there, don't you? You don't? Guess what? No one does. No, only history courses. And you can learn history on your own. Yeah, it's okay to learn it when you're a kid, you know, in grade school and, you know, high school. But after that, I mean, just pick up books. You can read anything you want. You don't need a professor to tell you about it. Now, it's nice to get some other insights, but if you're really into it, you can learn about it. But trend forecasting, looking ahead, it's not there. So going back to gold and saying that think for yourself, I don't give financial advice. Gold is the ultimate safe haven commodity. As all these commodity prices are going down, gold is maintaining its own pretty well for a while. And now let's put this into context. On Monday, the South African rand lost 10% of its value, thereabouts. One day. Over there in Argentina, the new president came into office a few weeks ago and devalued the Argentinian peso, down 30%. There's people up in Canada, not too far away, 4-hour drive from where I am. Yep. Look at their loonie. What would you rather have? That thing was up to over $1.10. And now it's down to 70 cents. Would you rather have gold? So when you look at these, you have to look beyond the United States, beyond the one-dimensional view. And the multidimensional view is, as we see it, the Great Recession has begun. There's no getting out of this. Do you know in Switzerland, when I say no getting out of it, because they tried, they played the game already with negative interest, zero interest rate policy in America, negative interest rate policy in Switzerland and other European countries. Matter of fact, the European Central Bank, negative interest rates, negative yields, and on bonds, German bonds, Swiss bonds, other bonds. So when I say gold being the safe haven, and they played this out because the markets are declining, they have no other tools. They may make up something new. They made up quantitative easing. That never existed before. As I mentioned, zero interest rate policy. The first interest rate rise, this past month was, they hadn't raised interest rates since 2006. So they could come up with something new is what I'm saying. But in the absence of that, as these markets decline, they don't have anything that we can see that will keep the Ponzi scheme going. And that's all this is. It's one big Ponzi scheme. Because when you look at the economic growth, it's primarily in the financial sector. You saw merger and acquisition activity in 2015 at the highest level ever because of all the cheap money. And it's continuing, by the way. New deals, new pharma deal yesterday was announced for another $32 billion because the money's still relatively cheap. So what we're saying is that we look at gold as a safe haven because the global economies are declining. Currencies are crashing. It's not only the South African rand. It's the Brazilian real. It's the Russian ruble. Oh, and by the way, as we've been reporting for quite a while now, since Saudi Arabia announcing it from Washington, D.C. on March 26, 2015, that they were going to invade Yemen. Could you imagine a foreign nation announcing they're going to invade another foreign nation from the capital of the United States? That's how disgusting this has become. And of course, the United States, as I mentioned, Obama just sold them $2 billion, the Saudis, $2 billion worth of smart bombs. Smart bombs. Yeah, they just bombed another hospital. It's about the fourth one in Yemen with those smart bombs. And smart, going back to Obama bragging about how brilliant our military intelligence are, the United States is supplying intelligence, reconnaissance, air fuel, refueling to the Saudis and their murderous group that are killing these people. So, going back to Saudi Arabia, as oil prices decline so dramatically, and again, we're flirting with $30 a barrel, down from $115 in June of 2014. Saudi Arabia needs oil at $100 a barrel to break even with their budget, and they're already scaling way back. Go back to the 2011 Arab Spring. The Saudis, Bahrain, United Arab Emirates, a number of these countries run by dictators. They like to call them royal families. Royal families. See, they're talking a six-year royal what? Anyway, they shut the people up by flooding them with more dough. Now they're pulling back, cutting back social programs, cutting back benefits, raising prices. You're also seeing the Saudis, of course, they beheaded a prominent Shia cleric. Now there's reports. Here's one right now. Breaking news. Several blasts rock Aramco oil facilities. A number of blasts hit Baqiq Industrial City in the southern Saudi province of Jizan, where the kingdom's giant Aramco oil facility is located. And of course, this is their bread and butter. And this industrial city is where, they have their biggest enterprises. And the oil fields are being attacked ostensibly by the Yemeni army. It's also interesting to note that Saudi Arabia's oil fields, the facilities, are in the eastern section, and that is inhabited mostly by Shia. And again, it's the Sunni-Shia war going on. And they just cut off the head of that prominent Shia cleric. So we're looking at destabilization of the markets coming from a lot of different directions, and of course building war. So that's, you know, a pretty solid roundup of what's going on in trends this week and what to expect. And we suggest you prepare, prevail to survive. And think for yourself. That's the most important thing. As I mentioned earlier, I went over where they place stories, what the headlines are, and how they kind of put them in a perspective that puts you on the path of what they want you to believe rather than seeing the facts for what they are. And I also suggest you consider, of course, subscribing to the Trends Journal. And you'll get trends in the news, trends this week, trend alerts, trends monthly. It's the only place where you'll read and hear history before it happens. Because the top trends of 2016 that we launched over a month ago are beginning to take place. Mamma mia, 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 mamma mia